Hey, it's Andy from Manskills. This is our final episode of season one. Cameron and I have been blown away by the response to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening and learning with us. If you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get the word out. Also, please consider subscribing and sharing it with a friend. We're planning season two right now, and we'd love your insight. Is there a topic you want us to cover? Do you know an expert who'd be a compelling guest? Send us your ideas and thoughts to podcasts with an S at crosshairds.net. We've saved one of my favorite episodes for last, recorded on location at a sweet public house in central Kentucky. This is the one thing you need to know about beer. Manhood. It can feel complicated. There's all this stuff you're just supposed to know. But what if you don't?
I could use a starting point. You know, one thing to improve my workout or complete a do-it-yourself project.
When it comes to the biggest questions in life, it'd be nice to have actual answers from real experts. So we went out and found some.
My name is Cameron.
And I'm Andy. And this is Man Skills. Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. That quote is attributed to Benjamin Franklin. He didn't actually say that, but we still like it. Today, we're on location at Sláinte Public House, a traditional Irish pub in the heart of Kentucky, for a conversation about our favorite libations with the owner-operator. This is the one thing you need to know about beer.
Andy, I'm excited to be on the road, do our first podcast episode off location.
Yeah.
Really excited to introduce our next guest, Matt Nunn. Matt, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Why don't you tell our listeners kind of how you got into this business? And
well, that's tough. There's a lot there. I'll do my best. First, I do want to correct one thing you said. So we always are careful to say we're an Irish-inspired pub.
Okay.
Because this is not Ireland.
This is
America.
This is Georgetown.
And while Ashton and I both have Irish ancestry, we're not 100% Irish. We're not from Ireland. We're from here. And, you know, Irish people, I think, they're one of the people groups that have been heavily exploited throughout history. And so we're trying to be very careful about saying that we're an Irish-inspired pub, not an Irish pub. Because we respect that. But anyways, we've been here about, we've been open 2.5 years. August was our 2-year anniversary. It's been a great experience for us. It's something I've always wanted to do is own a bar. I'm not unique in that way. I think most guys, you know, at some point in their life or maybe throughout their lives, want to open a bar.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but, you know, my wife was never really on board. And then we went to Ireland for our 10-year anniversary. I guess it'll be 4 years ago in October. And when we were there, we both just absolutely fell in love with Irish pubs. And really what we liked about it was what they meant for the community. I mean, they're the hub of the community in Ireland. I mean, that's where people go and share joys, triumphs, sorrows. You know, that's where people do life together. That's where they're in community.
Yeah.
And we just loved that there. And we wanted that for Georgetown. And quite honestly, we expected a lot of resistance from the community because we're the first bar in Georgetown since Prohibition.
Wow.
Georgetown was completely dry. You couldn't get alcohol here until, I think, the 90s. And then it was at a restaurant, liquor by the drink, if a restaurant had 70% food sales or something like that.
Man.
But that changed right before we bought the building and opened the pub. And so we're the first alcohol-only establishment in Georgetown. We're still the only alcohol-only establishment in Georgetown.
Wow.
So we expected a lot of resistance, but we've been supported by the community. Local officials have been very helpful in helping us get the business started and been supportive, and the community's obviously come out and supported us. That's why the doors are still open. So it's been a great experience.
Well, in that case, I have a question for you, Matt. What is your all-time favorite beer?
That's a tough question. I always like to say there's a beer for every occasion, but there's also an occasion for every beer. And there's a difference there, right?
Yeah, true.
So I don't cast off any beer. You know, when I'm kayaking, I love Natty Light. That's a great beer to have the creek kayaking. If I'm mowing the grass, open my beer fridge at home in the garage, I'm just as likely to grab a Miller High Life or a Coors Banquet as I am all day IPA or a 60-minute IPA, something like that. So I'm pretty broad on my beer spectrum. I love Guinness. I have for many years. So I guess my favorite beer, maybe this is cliche, but is the current one, whichever one I'm having at the
whatever one's in your hand.
That's good. Matt, we came all the way here to Georgetown, Kentucky, into your pub to ask you this. What is the one thing you need to know about beer?
I'm going to borrow
a quote here, borrow some wisdom from Lou Bryson. He actually wrote Tasting Whiskey.
Yeah.
But he's a frequent contributor to Beer Advocate magazine. He said, beer's not just a drink, it's the people you drink it with.
Mm-hmm.
Beer, in my mind, is it's something that brings people together around a table or at a bar or whatever it may be. And it becomes just a kind of a thing that unites us. It should be a thing that unites us and allows us to, you know, again, do community together, build relationships, talk about good things, talk about sad things, whatever it may be. Beer is just beer. I think we've gotten to the point where we try to overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
And it's not complicated. It's just beer.
Yeah.
So why make it any more complicated than it is? It's something meant to be enjoyed. Benjamin Franklin, I think he said, you said that quote in the opening. I think he said that about wine. I always like to say, you know, Jesus is proof God loves us. Beer is proof he wants us to be happy.
That's right.
So yeah. I would make that distinction there. But the overall theme is beer is a uniter. It's not a divider. It's something that brings us together.
Yeah, right. I love that. I think a lot of times culture likes to put the church against beer. Can you talk more about like how you've seen that combination of like the church and Christians coming together over beers in your pub? Or
absolutely. When we opened the pub, we thought a lot about it. But we also prayed a lot about it and said, God, because we had that same kind of tension. And ultimately we said, hey, if we open a place, it's going to be different. It's not going to be a place where you come to crush cheap beers with your buddies. It's a place where you're going to come to enjoy a few nice beers with friends and people that you don't know and build relationships. And I'll tell you, I've had, not just here, but at my home or wherever it may be, I've had opportunities to speak truth to people, to share the gospel with people through having a few beers more than I have any other hobby that I have or I've ever had.
Wow. You know? Yeah.
Sheesh. That's awesome. So I just wanted to point out the fact, I don't want to get too deep, but Jesus is about restoring things back to the way that they were intended.
Yes.
And that is exactly what I just heard you say. And from my own personal experience around this, alcoholism runs really heavily in my family.
Yeah.
And being able to be in a room speaking about truth with a beer in my hand and having that as a catalyst for community has been a totally restorative thing, and God has opened up doors for that. And I'm just, man, I'm pumped that you've built this place with your wife around mission and bringing people together. And that's awesome, man. That looks a lot like Jesus. All right, so shifting gears a little bit, you work in beer culture.
Yeah.
What trends do you see happening when it comes to beer, and what trends do you see as positive, and what trends do you see as negative?
Positives. Number one is what I like to call session beers. I mean, I don't like to call everybody who knows that term.
Yeah.
But that's the lower ABV beers that you can sit around again for 4 or 5 hours and enjoy them with. Look, I like Dogfish 90 Minute IPA. The malt holds up well. The hops are not overpowering. It's a great, great beer. It comes in at 9%. Love it, I would even say. But I really love 60 Minute IPA.
Right.
Because it's lower ABV, and so I can sit around for a longer time and enjoy those with people, have conversations. So I like to drink beer for a period of time. I don't want to sit down and have two beers for an hour and be done.
Yeah.
I want to have a number of beers over a long period of time, but I also don't want to get, you know, drunk or, you know, or I can't enjoy myself and I say stupid things. You know, I always say high ABV beers are meant for home. That's one of the positive trends. I guess a negative trend is beers trending downward. Everybody blames millennials for that because they're not drinking as much beer. I think it's just trending. I think blaming millennials is trending upward. I think we're trying to blame millennials. So I don't know if it's their fault or I don't know what it is, but beer sales tell us that beer is actually trending downward. Spirits are trending upward. So as far as beer culture, you know, that is a kind of a negative. And I guess the other thing, this maybe would be controversial, and I say this as a guy that loves craft beer, but I think craft beer has almost become a negative trend in beer culture.
Yeah, I mean, Budweiser's capitalizing on that with the Dilly commercials and whatnot.
Well, I mean, they're right. That ad, I like the commercial where the guy comes in and, you know, something, I can't remember what happened. He tries to buy everybody in the pub around, right?
Yeah.
And there's one guy in the corner that's asking for the meat or whatever it is. He asked him like 10 questions about the meat.
Yeah.
dude, he wants to buy you a beer.
Yeah, true.
The damn beer. Yeah. I mean, there's worse things in life than trying to trying to suffer through 12 ounces or 16 ounces of something that you don't absolutely love.
Yeah.
Say thank you and drink the beer and celebrate and clink glasses with people.
Right.
He deserved to go in the stock. So I like
it. Becoming too complicated.
Yeah, he had fun and drink the beer.
Yeah.
So I think you know, craft beer has kind of become divisive in that way. It's created beer snobs. I've been guilty of that in the past. For example, speaking of Bud Light, we did not serve Bud Light here for the first 20 months that we were open.
Mm-hmm.
That was a decision we made on the outset because we wanted a different type of culture here, and we'd been places where, again, I talked earlier about people, you know, crushing, you know, Bud Lights and that sort of thing, and we did not want that here. But we realized that, and so people would come and we'd ask for Bud Light and we didn't have it. They'd turn around and leave. And I think, wow, that's pretty obstinate, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, Matt, you're being obstinate too.
Hmm.
And that's no way to be. And so what we were effectively doing is we were cutting out a whole segment of the population based upon their beer preference. Number one, that's probably not the wisest business decision. But more importantly, we want to build community here. And so say the two of you are friends, you love craft beer, you like Bud Light. You guys aren't going to come here and share beer together because we didn't have what you wanted.
Right.
And so we were cutting out a lot of opportunities again for community. So we have Bud Light now. We've had it probably about a year and a half. No negative consequences. All the things that we fear. None of those happened. We were completely wrong. We were being beer snobs. And for that, we are sorry. So we have Bud Light now, and it's way down on our list of top sellers. We still sell 80% of our beer, our sales are our draft beer, and it's all craft on draft. We don't have any of the adjuncts, any of the big traditional big three beers on draft. So by and large, we still sell craft beer, but we have Bud Light, Miller Light, those sorts of things for people who don't enjoy that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, sticking to the beer culture, there are so many like breweries and types of beers out there. It can be overwhelming. Like, where should I begin if I'm new?
It is overwhelming. It's overwhelming for me. I'm supposed to be I'm an alleged expert, and I'm far from an expert. There are bar owners who know a lot more than I do. But I think so. Try something if it's yourself or it's a friend that you're trying to introduce to craft beer. Try something that they are likely to like. So I say that if say someone is a Michelob Ultra drinker or a Miller Lite drinker, I've talked about Bud Light enough, so I'll mention some other brands, but say that they like those types of beers, have them try a Kolsch, have them try a Pilsner, something that is, a little bit lighter, a little bit closer to what they're accustomed to drinking. Start there and then grow into other things. My wife, that's how I got her drinking craft beer, or beer in general. She was always a wine drinker. She loves coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, hey, try this porter.
Yeah.
She loved it.
Yeah.
When she found out how many calories are in it, she's like, ah. But she asked, and that's how she started drinking beer, was I gave her something that she was likely to like. And I said, hey, try this. And she enjoyed it. So, and then, and then Browns and Amber Ales, they're easier to approach for somebody who's getting into it. So those are the types of styles that if I was getting into craft beer and I wanted to start appreciating them, that I would start there and then grow my palate from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we do this here. There's just a handful of breweries that are just really great breweries. Mm-hmm. They've got a footprint around the country. And so no matter where you go, you'll probably be able to find one or two of their beers on tap.
Yeah.
And my experience, at least, is their interpretations are consistent across styles.
Yeah.
So their IPA, their interpretation of IPA is going to be similar to their interpretation of a porter or stout or whatever it is.
Right.
So if you find a brewer that you like, you're likely to like a lot of their beer. So, Bell's Brewery, Founders, Cigar City, Dogfish Head, Oscar Blues, those breweries that you're going to be able to find all across the country, kind of get accustomed to them. And that'll help you as you navigate around.
All right, Matt, now's the time where we have a test.
Okay.
This isn't normal, but we're like, what the heck? We're going to give it a shot.
Put you in the hot seat.
All right. So you've got people coming in here all the time that are probably new to the whole craft beer culture, like we said.
Yes.
And so here's a little fun game we're going to play. So Cameron and I just showed up to Sláinte.
Yes.
And so I'm a big German beer guy, like wheat beer specifically. Cameron, what's your favorite beer?
in Cincinnati, we have a lot of sour beers, so I end up typically going towards the sours. So what would you recommend for a sour beer lover and
for a German beer lover?
Wow, sour is tough. That is a very, very unique flavor profile. I would probably, if we happen to have like a Berliner Weiss on, something like that, that's probably where I would try to steer you towards. But I would hope that we have a good sour on that. Dogfish Head, they make a beer, and I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I just thought of this. Dogfish Head makes a beer called Sea Quench. Mm-hmm. And it's the only sour that I like. I typically don't like sours. But it is scientifically proven to hydrate you. There's enough between the sea salt and the lime, sort of, there's enough electrolytes in there that it actually hydrates you as you're drinking it. And then you like German styles. Which particular German beers do you like?
I love Hefeweizens.
Okay.
So like something with like banana flavor.
I'll say that banana flavor.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah. So we do a lot. We have a blonde ale on tap here always. Cougar Bait by Country Boy.
Country Boy's man, I love that one.
Okay, well, yeah, see, there so you go.
Home run. There you go.
We always have that on tap, and I think if you came in and we didn't have a Hefeweizen on tap, that's what I would sit in front of you.
Yeah. Cougar Bait. All right, so Matt, this has been awesome. And one of the things I just want to touch on before we sign off here is you continually hit the note of community is a big part of the mission and reason behind why you started this pub with your wife. For anybody that's out there that is like trying to find something like this or finding community, like what would you have to say to them?
It's not a big part of it. Is the mission here? It's what we do. We specialize in making this place comfortable, making people feel comfortable and welcome here. It is why we do. It's our why. It's why we do what we do. And I know. God built us to need each other.
Yeah,
we're made to be in community, and so that's why I think people are drawn to this place. I think even if they don't know that consciously, subconsciously, they understand that they need people. That's why they come here. You can drink at home. You can get a six pack away home from work and sit at home and drink. People come to the bar for a reason. So oftentimes people come to the bar and they'll instinctively, I think that's the right word. Southeastern Kentucky, sometimes I say that. they'll bury their face in their phone. Well, our bartenders are very intentional, and our regulars are too now, about trying to engage them in conversation. Mm. When we first opened, we had old-fashioned FaceTime as a special. If you turned your phone into a bartender, I think it was 20% off your tab. Try to get people to put their phones down and talk to each other. Yeah. And so we did that to build that culture. Now we have that culture here, so we don't have to have the special anymore, which is great for me. But, I think community is it's absolutely what we're all about, and you see that here. If you come here we open at 2:00 every day. If you come here at 2, except Sunday, we open at 1. We open at 2:00. If you come here 2 to 6 or 7, any day of the week, you see community in action. You see people that have genuine friendships. People call this the Cheers bar in town. not an accident. That's why I grew up wanting to own a bar. I watched Cheers as a kid. That was my inspiration. That was part of our inspiration here. So they call it the Cheers bar, and it really is like that. The door opens, everybody turns around to look. Some people, it makes them feel comfortable, and they don't come back, but most people are like, oh, wow. And, they're kind of like start the show for a minute. Everybody says hello, whether you're new to the bar or you've been here, for years and years. Everybody says hello and greets you and tries to make you feel welcome. Because, again, I community is important to us, and the people that frequent here get it. They understand that.
Yeah.
And, again, whether they know it consciously or not, they just live that way.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in Georgetown, Kentucky, you got to come down and visit Slauncha and see Matt and his crew here. So how can people engage? You have a social media. What's that?
We do. We have all three of the main platforms from what I understand. My wife handles all that stuff. We have Facebook. I monitor the Facebook page along with her. But we also have Instagram and Twitter. So you can follow us on Twitter. I think that's what you do now. And Instagram. Slauncha is spelled Slainte. And that is Irish for health. And so when you're in Ireland and you toast, instead of saying cheers, you say Slauncha.
Thanks for hosting us in your beautiful pub.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Hey, we'd love to continue the conversation with you. You can email us both at podcasts@crossroads.net.
Man Skills is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our sweet theme music to our friend Alex Stevens. Whoop, whoop.